Y 2025 infrastructure review. So we have all the teams here, and we're going to start you off with Team Nook. There you go. Give them a great, great hand of applause.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome at the infra review. I'm Nikodak from Nook, and this is Evie, also from the Nook. We are giving you a short presentation what we did here this year and how we did it and why we did it that way. The global topology is similar to previous events. This time we have one offsite router again in Amsterdam, co-located in a NICHEF data center there. And we have got a 400 gigabit connection from NICHEF to the site here. And on the site, everything is redundant. Well, on the router side, we are running two routers doing all the routing, and then we have the distribution fully meshed with each other, and from there we are going to the lower layer on the datenclose. We are running EVPN VXLAN this time on the site, and all the datenclose and many other switches are multi-homed to two distribution boxes over diverse fiber paths. So in case someone destroys a fiber by driving over it, by using some other tool or some accident, we shouldn't lose a datenclose so easily. The redundancy unfortunately ends at a data center. You might have experienced that on day one, I think it was. But besides from that, most of the stuff is redundant. The uplink part is quite interesting this time. Multiple parties were involved. We got via SURF an alien wave from NICHEF to in Holland and Alkmaar, so not too far off the field, you would think. But from there, it's one 35 kilometer KPN dark fiber and another 15 kilometer Solcon single strand fiber just here within Alkmaar to get to the field. We wanted to do something new this time. We've done 100 and 200 gigabits at previous events, so we were like, yeah, just why don't we do 400 gigabit? Turns out 400 gigabit over a single fiber isn't something you can buy off the shelf. This has been quite an effort to get going, but we managed it. On the lower left, you see what we have put up in the data center here. No, this is NICHEF, the site, and the lower right is our POP in Holland and Alkmaar, where we convert from the alien wave by SURF to what we push on the dark fiber to the field here. This is something where even the vendors were quite surprised that it worked. So we made a little diagram you probably can't see. You can see it, but you don't know what it says on the right. We have the alien wave on the right from NICHEF towards our POP here in Holland. And there we do some conversion by using two more 400 gigabit optics to convert the normal wavelength to two different wavelengths to put on a BiDi single fiber strand running over the over 50 kilometer fiber within the city here. And also for the first time for quite a while, we had to use amplifiers because 50 kilometer doesn't sound much, but that fiber has a kind of a quality where we have quite a loss on the way here due to many patches and splices and stuff happening in between, which could have, we tried to resolve with the suppliers for these, but they couldn't do that, unfortunately. So we had to amplify the signal to get it here. On the right and left, of course, there are no Fritz boxes connected, but there are four routers connected with one time 100 gig each. So we tried our best to get the most bandwidth here, and it worked. And yeah, you used part of it, not all of it, but that's fine. That was expected, but it was still fun to do and to build that for this event. There's a high chance that there will be a talk at NLNOC and or DNOC about that setup. The CFP is still open. We don't know yet if it's accepted or not, but if there will be a more in-depth talk there and then afterwards on the internet.
So, when you have a field this big and a team, we're like approximately 30 people with quite a complex fiber setup, you need a lot of automation, and we use NetBox a lot for this. As you can see here on the slide, like this is in NetBox, you can trace a fiber. This is like one trace, it goes all the way down. But we use NetBox as a single source of truth, and we have lots of tooling built around it to make sure all the information on how we want to build the event is in there. so everybody in the team can operate independently or like in sub-teams without continuously having to ask the people who designed it or like have more in-depth knowledge how it exactly works. We still also really like paper for tracking. In the NOC, it's quite common to have a big Kanban board. This is the state after the build-up. We will wipe it clean and fill it up again for the teardown, but this is, has always been an amazing tool to keep track of the mayhem on this field. And then, of course, with so many fibers, so many patches, how do you make sure that everything ends up in the right place? We also have automation for this. So we can print, as you can see here on the slide deck, patch sheets, like information where every angel that goes into the field that has to patch everything up knows exactly where it goes. And then in a lot of cases, everything actually works out. Sometimes we need to do a bit of troubleshooting, but just having these sheets of run somewhere, do your thing, has been really helpful. And last of all, everything, of course, needs also a configuration before they go in the Datenclow. This cable mess is our new staging setup in Amersfoort. It's amazing. We will probably open source it. Well, that's the plan, but you know how these things go. We did all the switches in an hour. Normally, it took us like 2 days, so it's been amazing. And last of all, we have Snafu. This we already use this at Congress, and this is we can keep track of all the equipment in the field if they have the up-to-date configuration or not. And this has also been an amazing, helpful tool for us. So the build-up. The build-up was a wild experience this year. First of all, because of the terrain. And secondly, of course, because of the terrain and the weather. First of all, there are a lot of these channels with water and a lot of like crossings. We need to get our fibers to everywhere. So we put the fibers in the water. However, that was a bit harder than we originally thought. Luckily, we created a submarine division in the NOC. Thank you, Domi, for all your hard work, who voluntarily... went into the ditches to help feed the plastic rod that we used to pull cables through the tubes under the roads. Secondly, you would think if you get four aircos delivered, at least one would work. At least one did sort of work. Luckily, after some flooding in the data center by the aircos and not having cooling, it got all sorted out by the rental company. Luckily enough. And they brought two more in case one more fails. So we are fine there. And then this thing happened. It started like blowing. Well, there was a bit of wind, and then more wind, and then more wind. And then the radio went DK down, and then another time DK down. So this happened. I don't know how many we lost in the end. But yeah, we just let them rest, get a nap. Next morning, we put them back up. And now, when the switches now are in there, there's enough weight that they hopefully don't blow over. This also happened. Don't drive over fibers, I guess. This is the armor that is left of a fiber. But yeah, that's part of the event. And also this happened. Multiple times. So the sewage drain of the whole event is next to the NOC DC. That pump wasn't that reliable. More pictures. Wow. Some premium kabelschala that had to be sorted. And then the Wi-Fi. Of course, lots more people use Wi-Fi nowadays. During build-up, a lot of our people got geolocated to Japan. We still don't know exactly why. We think there is some beacon being transmitted that triggers this, but we haven't hunted it down. So if anybody knows more about this new whatever, let us know. And this is the first big event where we practically have 6 GHz Wi-Fi everywhere. However, the channel assignment was a bit wonky, so the Wi-Fi performance wasn't that great. We fixed this like a few days ago. And then we also brought out some more new fancy tools. So we did some site surveys of the event itself to see what the signal strength was. So we have a lot more data to improve it next time. And also we built 60 GHz point-to-point dig to the Siren Deep Sheep ship that is laying around somewhere there because they also wanted event Wi-Fi. we arranged that happily for them. And this also worked in one go. This is actually on top of the party stage, so feel free to take a look. All the decays got delivered, of course. A fun thing, because 6 GHz Wi-Fi requires GPS in every AP. Don't ask me why, ask the FCC. We could actually triangulate our Dayton clothes if they were placed according where we have planned them, and we have an internal list of who did a good job and who did a bad job. because we had GPS data, we could also do things like heat maps in Grafana, where all the clients are. And one more thing, you would think in 2025 IPv6 is a solved problem. The answer is no. Prefix delegation works somewhat now. We will hopefully have a proper deployment in at Congress this year, but Archaea is too old, so we need to upgrade. Neighbor discovery and router advertisements are still broken on our boxes, but we are working with our vendor to resolve this. But this takes time, given getting the bug fixes is a while. And some fun statistics. Do with this what you want. And last of all, a big thanks to all the people who helped out make this possible. Juniper for loaning us the core routers and the distribution switches, Flex Optics to loan out the optics, Pfalzcom to loan out the DBDM equipment, I3D for even more equipment and upstream connectivity, Babil for the servers that run DNS and DHCP, Bit for all the UTP cable that we've used. If you see any blue cable in the field, go take a look what's written on there. Event infra as always as our source of all the network equipment. And last of all, as you already said, Surf for the Alienwave, Socon for the dark fiber, Interlink for IP transit, NTT, A2B, Fusix, Wopcom, Iranium, and of course all the internet exchanges where we paired with NLEX, Asteroids, PDX, FreeSix, RIX, and LSIX. And FreeSix is somewhere also there, so feel free to say hi to them. Then up to nuts.
Hello, hello, hello. Let's see.
Hello.
So, yes, we are Team Nuts. First year, we are a full event and doing a lot of stuff here. First of all, I want to say we are 100% volunteers. There was a discussion with a lot of people, but all the people that are here from Team Nuts, we are around with 12 people. We are all volunteers. So, you can recognize and us with these shirts, so we have this text also that's standing over here. So if you have any issues, always shout to us. So we have the grid. This year, I believe it's the first time for this hacker event that we're actually using a grid instead of old diesel generators. We have around 1 megawatt of connection here, and what happened on Friday, we're gonna handle that a little bit later. But you can see here we have around 6 connections available with 400 amps of safety or fuses. These are all connected with power locks and distributed or all over the field and ensuring that everybody has power on the field. Next to that, we have a couple of generators.
Yeah. We have 6 of those generators currently on the field. We started out with 4 of them. They're 270 kVA each. But 2 of them broke down, and so we had to order our 2 extra eventually. They're located near the supermarket originally, and 2 next to the karaoke bar. And they kept their event going.
One of the things we also did was supplying water and sewage at this event. Because there is a 10 cubic meter per hour connection available here, we needed some buffer barrels. I don't know if that's the correct word, but that's what Translate at least said to me. There are 3 on this field with 13,500 liters of water. They can contain. And as you can see on this picture, the middle light, the orange light, is on. That means that we are at the halfway of that buffer. So yeah, we actually need that because to ensure that all you guys have enough water pressure, and in some circumstances it was at some places a little bit low, we tried to resolve those, but it's not always possible. There are pumps making sure that the pressure is high enough to shower and flush the toilet. The outage, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, it's the obvious us. We didn't expect to have a grid outage, but it happened. So, like at 3 a.m. on August 8th, the grid got down. After that, we went to like the hill where the converter is located and saw like okay, the grid is down. And then we're like, okay, but the grid is down. That means our switch pumps don't work. So we're maybe in literal shit. So yeah, following that, we closed the toilets and we called out the utility company A2O. Research where is this coming from, and as you can see on the chart art, the region had also no power. We just first looked at the grid at the teams that really needed power, like safety for medication and other safety stuff, and we placed a generator over there. Then we make sure that if we can, if the grid goes up again, we can restore really quick. So we made some drawings over how to take over the net. And after that, it was pretty chill because we're waiting for the grid power or the extra generators we ordered like a day earlier because the other generators broke. Happy coincidence. But it was a really, not that stressful position because we knew like at 6 we either have grid power, which is fine, or we have generators inbound, which is fine. But luckily the grid power got restored, and then it was just putting on boxes and opening the toilets, and you all had power.
Yeah, and some of the other challenges we had is every time or before also the other events that we helped organizing, also like gaming events and that kind of stuff. It's always a challenge to explain to people that you have to use the correct power cable. So that we found cables without earth. That's really not done. You know, it's possible that you electrocute yourself. Even I don't know if the guy is in the room, but even I found a Tesla connected via one. Without break. So that's it. Okay, circuit breakers. Yeah, they trip. They do. Luckily, we have a ticket system on the power distribution units. You can file a ticket if it's a really large one. We fix it for you. Sometimes we ask you to try it again. Sometimes two times, and if it trips again, people were very enthusiastic to use the ticket system. So that helped us a lot. With only 12 people, you cannot be everywhere on the field, of course. But that was one of the challenges. The sewage pump, that was a challenge for us. It's not ours, it's from the location over here. There are some strange things happening to the thing and with the level meters and that kind of stuff. And today there was actually a guy who said, let's try this and see if it works. We had some emergency calls at 4 a.m. in the morning, and we needed to fix that pump or ensure that that it was flowing again. So that sleepless nights. Mud was a problem for us. Before the event started, we had a lot of rain over here with all the distribution of all these stuff. Mud was an issue. That picture shouldn't be there. What we also see is that there was a lot of cable rolls that were still, the cable was still on the roll. You basically make a spool, and that gets hot. It happens. I saw this at the family village, so... Well, just roll it out completely. Even if it's only a small device, always roll it out completely, because you never know who is connecting to it or who is plugging what into it. It's safety, safety, safety first. Power cables don't stretch, so somebody removed the PDU to another location and popped the 32 amps, plopped out, so yeah, no power. Then we got the thing and we come over there. Yeah, okay, that was an easy fix. And this was a really strange one. It was at Miliways. They said, well, the circuit breaker is tripping every time. We placed it on the side, like on this, on the thing, and it doesn't happen anymore. And we were like... Yeah, that's all I want to say about that. But it was pretty funny when we came there. It gave us a good laugh, but it solved the issue. Yeah, whiskey, maybe some other things. I don't know. It's all fine. It made us laugh, so that was good. The statistics. You want to go?
We have now six power generators. On the field, we have two batteries on site, one for shuttle charging and one for peak shaving.
We're going flipping too fast. For the shuttle charging, we only had a limited power connection available over there, and the shuttles need a lot of power. So what we use the battery for is when there's no shuttle connected, charge up the battery. When they come back or they need to charge, then drain the battery to. And I hope it worked good, and I see thumbs up from Team Shuttle, so... and there was another one that we, as a kind of a test, used to do peak shaving. So if there's a really high demand at some points, that flagged out the request, so that we don't draw everything from a generator or from the power grid.
Yes, for the rest, we have 120 power distribution units spread across the field. 22 kilometers of power lock cables, so that are the really thick, fist-thick cables you see, lying in like 5-fold holes with the three faces and the ground in zero. Then we have 10 kilometers of distribution cable all of various sizes. 2 kilometers of Schuco cable for everything you can imagine. 900 are 18 Schuco O and CE outlets. That's enough for everyone. If you just plug in and some distributor box, 7,000 light bulbs, which were all unboxed by volunteers. Thank you very much. We also screwed in the light strings. We are now everywhere on the field. So yeah, thanks for helping us out. We did that entire thing in 2 hours, and I still cannot believe it took only 2 hours.
Yeah. So thank you very much for your love and appreciation in what we do. You showed that to us. So there were a lot of messages, cards with the chaos post, and one idiot. Yeah, so we love that. That was completely new for us, but a really nice surprise that you really appreciate the work we do. And if we're not doing our job, please let us know, of course. The questions are at the latest. We didn't know that, but this is actually our motto. If you have Spotify, you can scan it. But if you don't have the time, the title of the song is "A Little Less Conversation, A Little More Action, Please." We are doers, not so much talkers. And to the next team, POC, POC.
Hi guys, so we are Martin, Fabian, and Jan from Team Payment and Phone Operation Center. It's actually two teams. And let me start with some hard facts for you guys. So at first, I want to tell you we are a team of 20 members, And that big amount of team members allowed us to operate all the systems without any additional angel shifts needed. So that's great, I think. What we have done, from the phone operation center, we deployed a phone system, which was one main PBX at the data center, and four additional voice hubs. Imagine this at small telephone systems, which are interconnected all over the field. We have a map. This allowed us to provide up to 33 antennas for you, which are all over to connect your DECT handsets to. To make this possible, we needed to lay 5 kilometers of cables. And you see on the NOC presentation, it's not that easy all the times. One of our biggest growth factors is we had a whopping 1,800 extensions registered. These are DECT phones and ZIP accounts. And this is a 60% increase from the AMCH. So in that sense, keep calling and register more handsets. We had also an outbound connection thanks to our sponsor, SpeakUp, which allowed you to connect via your DECT and ZIP accounts to the world and from the world to us. And yeah, this was used. We had calls going to all over the world. And when we say that we mean it, Fabian will tell you a little bit more about it later. We also had 300 plus calls to the loud number. In case you didn't know about it, it's the phone number you can ring when you think that something here is too loud. It was used. And yeah, the last thing I want to mention, because actually Fabian and I are the main developers behind it, this event, we brought self-service call groups. So if you have any use case for them, just create your call group where you can add multiple devices and go on with it. And for the last time, the P in our team name stands for many things, but not power and not poop. That's what Team Nuts is for. And to give you a little bit of imagining, this is the event map, the field, and this is our interconnected network of antennas and phone systems. And at this point, I want to thank Team NOC for providing us fiber connection between our phone RBSs. And yeah, now some funny stuff.
You all know about the little power outage, and we also have problems that our UPSs went down after a few minutes, but we fixed it with a generator we bring to the data flow. We have also a small problem with one of our gators on the build-up, but this was also fixed, thank you. Two of our on-site voice hubs broke down, but it was possible for us with two whole components to fix these SMD parts. It looked like they two are dancing together. I like it. And then it was also used of many of the angels. We have a Clippy-powered waiter dispenser in our tent. There was some problem. One of our visitors have an IP phone, and this IP phone have no password, and it was connected to the open network, and you know that the open network have a public IP address. And yeah, what can happen? This phone was somebody from outside connected to it and make some calls to over the world. We doesn't mention it, but our sponsor came to us after they bill rise it up a little bit and asks for stopping us or found out which guy or which phone does these calls. Yeah, Martin, please continue.
Yeah, and with that we get to the fun part, or well, the other part in the POC, the payment stuff. You've probably all seen it in the food courts, at the vendors, at the merch. Well, because we didn't have enough to do with the phone stuff, we decided to add something more on there. So what do you do when you have way too much time on your hands? Well, of course, you fuck up something majorly. In our case, it was, well, we brought you payment terminals, you know, those little white devices that you tap your card to. Fun thing, unless you bring 60 of them and they're all region locked to Germany and the vendor is like, good luck. Well, on a positive side note, every single Media Markt in the Amsterdam area now knows us personally. We did meet the vendor, or the, what's called the account manager for SumUp in the Netherlands, who was very helpful in getting us into Makro, because why would I bring a Makro card if I'm not living here? But yeah, now we have new payment terminals. And all that was to be used not only with your credit cards, but also with these fancy plastic payment cards for those who didn't want to use their credit card. A big shout out to Birkenworm, who did this amazing design on a transparent card. If you don't have one yet, you should definitely try to get one at the info desk or at the POC tent. For statistics, we handed out about 4,500 of those plastic cards. If you don't have one yet, you can actually also use it for non-payment purposes. We will be providing you an application that you can use to unlock the card and actually use it for your RFID hacking endeavors. This will be up online probably in the next 2 or 3 days. On number data, we also had about 19,000 credit and debit card transactions, which is, I think, almost double the amount what we did at MCH. The average card was about €8.25 and about 345 credit, gift card, so those plastic cards, which were topped up and used for payments. It worked okay. We only had to drive out to the food court every like half hour. There's, I mean, it's better than nothing. But yeah, if there's in the room like a sponsor with a green color in their logo and also doing payment stuff and who already supported us last time, perhaps we can do that again because your terminals work better than what we had this time. Yeah, and with that, we'll hand it over to the amazing production house VOC.
Well, hello everybody. I'm Jenny, a scientist from the team VOC/Team Produktihaus. And we provided recordings for the stages. This was the first event where we used our new flight cases that we introduced at GPN. We recorded 4 tracks, and because all of the amazing angels that helped us out, we were able to also produce the party stage because we had enough spare time. So thank you everybody who angeled. We are recording because it's not yet over, so we are recording 155 talks and producing a total of 117 hours and 10 minutes of content. As I said, it's the first event for the new flight cases. Here you see them all being loaded up and ready to go to the event. And they arrived safely despite all the mud. But because of the mud, we had to invent new transport solutions to get them to where they needed to go. And we just took them off the pallets and put them on a trailer and used the gator to bring them where they needed to go. But there were some unexpected complications. Maybe some of you saw it. We have this big displays in all of the halls. But one display was a bit special because it looked like this. Don't use Microsoft displays. The next thing we had was this MikroTik router, which had a bit of an identity crisis with its SFP Plus ports. As you might see, the LEDs for SFP port 1 are on show link up, despite it being connected to port 2. Yes, also in the software and everywhere in the thing, it thought it was SSP1 that where the connection was up, and it worked amazingly. But yeah, there was also the power outage, and so we rushed together and came up with a solution to continue streaming while the power outage, and we called that the C3Walk Solar Powered Edition. As earlier mentioned, we had time to do other things than just the talks, and we got this postcard. It reads, "So VOC is producing music events now, I guess? And yes, we are producing music events. We produced the party stage with four cameras because we had a bunch of our private gear with us as spare equipment, and we had enough to add another room setup. And we produced all of the bands in the live stream at the party stage. We had four cameras set up, two in the back, one on the stage, and one handheld in the front. And it included fire, but not just this fire, because there was also Symphony of Fire. And we recorded Symphony of Fire this time with three cameras, so we also had this fire. And we received a whole bunch of awesome postcards, so thanks for all your love. They were really sweet, and it's nice to see all the appreciation for our work. And yeah, basically everything else is just the usual setup as we have in other events. So if you're interested in more of that, there are a couple talks online and longer in-depth things you can watch. And with that, I'm handing over to Team Rock.
Hello, everyone. Now to talk about a little less known team for the attendees, as we mostly service the other teams that we have. It is Team Rock, the radio operations center, where we hand out really cool radios to all the different teams, powered by some of our friends who gave us stuff for very low rates. And we decided at MCH to go with DMR because we like digital things, which has a few time slots, dedicated time slots per channel, and it can only be described as tin can audio codec. We got a lot of complaints about that, that people were not understandable over the radio. So this year, we decided to go with Tetra, also known as the system the government and all the other interesting people use. Tetra provides a much clearer audio quality. There is more dynamic time slot allocation, so we can have as many channels as we want, and we can have up to 7 conversations with our fancy transmitters. These transmitters, however, are old, and unfortunately, during, I think, day 3, we noticed that the second transmitter was transmitting at 30 watts, even though it is rated and can only at a maximum do 10 watts. So we decided to check if we can find someone with a power meter, because it could be the measuring that is wrong and then we can override it, or if the measuring is right and we override it, we might blow up even more, and we didn't want to do that. We found someone, luckily. We checked it. Sadly, it did actually spit out 30 watts, so we had to take it offline. We did replace it with the one we used to plan for our hobby things. So sadly, we couldn't connect the system to the DECT network, which would have been fun. And then the power outage. Have you heard of it? We had a battery backup during our testing phase. We noticed when we unplugged it that the battery backup has a nice switch on it that was still in the off position. Luckily for the power outage, we switched it on. And we also made a notification system where if the power goes out, we get a nice little message on our radios telling us something is wrong. Now, we ran on battery for about 50 minutes until our friends at the Nuts team managed to get us connected to some sort of power again, and we remained fully operational during the power outage so that all the teams could communicate effectively. Of course, radio is pretty broad, so we thought we can do more with it. Why not put a GPS tracker on all the different gators and utility vehicles and the shuttle as well, so people can see on the Y map where these things are at the moment. And if you are waiting for the shuttle, you can just follow it on GPS. It went so well that people from PL started asking us, do you have any extra spare trackers that you can give us so people can see where we are? So we gave them a couple and added them to the map. and Team Terrain made beautiful icons with gators with an actual gator in them, because it has to look nice for the map. And then the main advantage of Tetra and digital systems is you can collect statistics as well. And this is why we never joined the talk before. We didn't have much statistics. Now we do. So of the time slots, we had the most of 8 available, including 1 control channel, so 7 simultaneous talks. We reached 7 out of 8 usage, so we never had anyone who needed to wait to speak. That's a good thing. We had 200 radios available on site, a little more, I think. I don't know the exact number. At the most, 152 were connected simultaneously. And even some people from NOC and other teams brought their own personal radios, which we happily added in the system for them. Regarding the channel use, Orga was the main one. That is where everyone is on there. And very interestingly, because we started the event and we already started collecting the statistics, suddenly on the day one of the event, parking shot up and surpassed many of the other channels with the amount of talking they do. So if you want a nice team that talks a lot, go to parking. And, well, over time, we also have some different channel statistics. These are all on our dashboards. We started tracking the usage of the time slots with individual calls, which we kind of didn't say to anyone, but you could do if you know their number. Well, here we see some testing on my laptop, and then eventually we see a huge peak of NOC usage. This is when the network was connected to our logging server and it could actually start sending out logs. So thank you, NOC, for that. And for our future ideas, we have GPS on the radios. It is disabled for privacy reasons, but we might want to make an opt-in system at some point. We want to put a nice box around our infrastructure because currently, we put up some shelves that worked, but it would be nice to just roll in there, plug in, and everything works. And we want to improve the handout systems of the different radios. And if we can, maybe a massive antenna, that would be nice. Right, thank you. You can come say hi at the rock tent, scan the QR code to get more statistics, and we might be available for other events if you want. And then I think it's time to give it to Team Shuttle. Thank
you. Hello from Team Shuttle. Going to make it quick. So in case you didn't know, Shuttle runs between the Terrain and our command station to pick people up. It's about 20-kilometer round trip, and we're here from day -3 to day 6. We run from approximately 10 a.m. to midnight. Please check the schedule if you want to take the shuttle. New this year, we have 6 shuttles, 1 accessible and 5 EVs. As Team Nut said, that presents some charging problems on the terrain. We also have some live tracking so that you can see where your shuttle is. And we can also see if the shuttle has gone the wrong way and is going rogue. Some EV band stats for all the people that are going to ask. They're 75 kilowatt hours. Type 2 charging is really slow. We have to charge them overnight. We do have DC fast charging, 100 kilowatt hours, but it's expensive, so we try not to do that. The WLTP range is 352 kilometers, which is a lie. It's about 250 in reality, and they seat 9 people. So some actual stats. We've done around 6,000 kilometers of EV driving, plus the diesel sprinter, which is the accessible shuttle, 7,000 kilometers. So that is about 2 megawatt hours of energy consumed by the shuttles themselves. 360 round trips, which gives us a total seat capacity of almost 3,000. And we believe, thanks to Pete Saw for calculating this from our very excellent metric scraping system, we believe we have around 1,400, 1,500 people that have traveled so far. But as I say, these are stats up until today. We're here until day 6. So, you know, this is going to go up. We only have 1 tank of diesel this year, which I think is a real achievement. A big thank you to Team Nuts, who provided us with on-terrain charging. driver angels. This would not be possible without the people driving the shuttles. We have 75 people in Engel System so far who have worked 210 shifts and done 400 hours of driving. That's immense. And some fun stats. So we, as mentioned, we had some problems with the battery. We collected a battery engineer from Utrecht to come and fix it, but we didn't have very much power during the beginning of the event, so we weren't actually able to charge on site until around day zero, I believe. That meant that we had lots of time to go and spend DC fast charging the shuttles in a parking lot next to an Audi, which also means that you can heat your get a parking ticket from the local municipality and heat your Frickendahl from the charger. Very good, I can recommend. We also transported two fridges. Parking were very pleased with this for providing them with cooling in the very hot weather out in the parking lot. And we also have three very beautiful shuttle flags designed by Eloy. I think one of them's disappeared, so whoever took that, I will find you. Finally, some thanks. Serious thanks to Team Warehouse, who have been amazing at managing our keys for us. Some other thanks to Nuts, obviously, to Parking, who've been very, very considerate in arranging our shuttles, and also to Chris and CMP, who have stepped up and really helped manage the shuttle team this year. So thank you, and I believe we're handing over to Accessibility.
Hello, I'm sorry, I don't have a very interesting slide because I only did it 20 minutes before the start of this call. I spent far too much time at work, haven't I? Hello, I'm Simon from Team Accessibility. I have a really, really fun job, which is getting to talk to all of the other teams about how they're making sure you lot can actually get here and get around. So, most of all, thank you to all the other teams for the amount of work they've done here, like ramps and toilets and power and toilets. So many toilets. Lots of toilets. Basically, all of this happened before the event. There's a few things we do on the event, but have you all found it a bit easier to get around the event just in general? Please say yes. Yeah. Hooray, thank you. I can now stop being anxious. Fundamentally, some of the things we've learned from previous hacker cons has been quite helpful here. So things like how people get around the site if they have mobility issues, for example, how we make sure that electric lights are showing so that you can move around at night and not fall over cables. Thank you again, Team Terrain, for that. And as has already been covered, making sure we have an accessible shuttle. But really, all of this, everything you've heard so far, is all in favor of one main thing. Let's be honest here, the important thing that all of us are here for, content.
Hello. I wanted to bring up my entire team, but some are still managing speakers, so I got a little selection here. Team content. We decided to do it a little bit different this time. So team content is content, speaker desk, heralds, reviewers. We had a lot of reviews, more than 1,500, I think. And of course, our very important angels during the event. We had more than 200 CFP submissions. Oh, almost 1,500 reviews. We did a 48-hour marathon weekend to make the selection. And after that, we already made the puzzle a little bit, but after that, we spent more than 100 hours making the puzzle complete. 480 people participated in content popularity vote, which was really, really useful. So thank you for that. And there was an enormous amount of lines of code we used to curate all the content.
That's probably me. Yes, we had 150 plus stage and workshop space content slots, so that was a lot. Just the curated stuff, not the villages. The lightning talks in the villages. Then we had 180 speakers contributing amazing content, or they will, some of them. We had about 99.3% on-time speaker arrival on stage, which is very, very good. Big thanks to the speakers. I'm very proud that we had an over 100% coverage of heralds on stage. So sometimes we had more than one of them. So great, thanks to them. And over 256 hours of Harold's on time on stage, hours on stage with 26 Harold's. So do the calculation, most of them did more than 10 hours on stage, which is a lot.
Then it was Friday and the power went out and we called it Content Apocalypse. We had to cancel the entire evening on Friday. There were 18 presentations and workshops planned, but I am very glad to report that we got 17 of them rescheduled and 25 speakers kept calm. And I could not have done this without the help of this amazing team, because we did it in under 20 hours. Before 10 minutes before the opening that we had to reschedule, we completed the entire new schedule. So yeah, 150 hours of work and we needed to redo it in 2 hours. Speaker desk, we gave out 500 water bottles because it's very warm. Please stay hydrated. A lot of Club Mate, iced coffee, and all that kind of stuff. And we had amazing entertainment for speakers as well, and I think they enjoyed it.
Including golf.
Yes.
Yeah, so
that's the last slide.
Yes, but I have a little bit more. I have another number for content, because we managed to keep all talks on time beside of two of them. One of them was by Kirillis today, and the other is now. So we are already in overtime.
Sorry for going overtime.
But I have another thing to sneak in, because I want also to present all these amazing volunteers working on the field, and I got some numbers from them and I'm sneaking them in. I think you love sneaking stuff. So there were up to 139 people working at the same time and managed in the Android system. So probably some more that were not even bothering to keep up their time in the Android system. And we had 2,081 working angels. We have, at now, maybe we will be more, thanks to them. At the moment, we have 1,895 shifts planned just for the event, excluding the after work, where we need have more help, hint, hint. Then currently, there's 7.1 weeks workload open until closing. And yeah, afterwards will be tear down, and 500 t-shirts were handed out so far, so all of them had worked more than 10 hours, thanks to all these angels who already got their t-shirt. And some of them did very shitty shifts, thanks to them especially. Be very happy if you don't know what it was. And then we had 4 secrets in the angel system. If you want to find secrets, there you can look. And a fun other number, we had 16,535 changes in the angel system so far. So that's the number from the log file. That's it.
Okay, everyone, watch out when you walk on stage. You guys were done, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was all from all our teams, and thank you for me, of everyone and everyone out there, so much for all that you've done for us. So give them another bigger applause, please. Thank you so much.